cross. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you, I didn't know it was time for me to get up here already. I'd done missed half the service. If y'all had walked back there, y'all would have heard me losing my religion. I walked out once without my belt. I walked out once, I didn't have socks on. Then I walked in and I realized my tie was too long. That took me 8 times to tie it. It was rough. But it was worth it, that's for sure. I sure did enjoy that. But I'm thankful that we can still come in here and we have a country that we can worship in freedom in. Because people probably like you went and fought for us. But most of all, because we've got a God that's always looked over us. And I'm thankful today that although our nation's getting pretty rough, you can still look around and see that we've got the greatest nation on earth. Because men and women have laid down their lives for me and you. And I don't know about you, but it's kind of sickening to me when you see people disregarding that flag right there. Amen. And I won't go into that because I'm up here to preach the Bible, but I just had to get that out. But I appreciate the singing this morning, the little that I heard. And I appreciate everybody being here. Everybody's back here in the back again. Nobody wants to come up to the spitting section. That's all right. We'll get back here soon enough. All right. Daniel chapter 3 is where we'll be this morning. Daniel chapter number 3. You know, when they were passing around the offering plates, it made me think about something. I should have gave this on Father's Day, but it made me think about 3 boys at school. They were bragging on their dads to their friends. One of the boys looked at his 2 friends and he said, "My dad's so awesome. All he does is write a bunch of words on a piece of paper. He calls it a poem, and they give him $100 for it." The next guy said, "Oh, that ain't nothing." He said, "My dad writes some words on a paper. He calls it a song. They give him $500. The next boy said, "Oh, I got y'all both beat. My dad takes a piece of paper, writes some words on it, calls it a sermon, and it takes 4 people to take up all the money." Amen. We love preachers. Amen. All righty. Everybody at Daniel chapter 3, say amen. All right. We'll just begin in verse number 1 is where we'll be this morning. Daniel chapter number 3. The Bible says, "Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it upon in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, basically everybody, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, 'To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and language, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace.' Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of all these different kinds of music that he describes, all the people, the nations and the languages, fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And that's where we'll stop. And may God add His blessing to His Word this morning. As we come to the third chapter of the book of Daniel, we find the main topic of this chapter are three boys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you've been in Sunday school, you've heard the story of what happened to these boys. Now, these three boys were Jews who worshiped God and who served Him all their life. They had previously lived in Judah for their whole life, a place in Judah where it was already hard enough to live for God. But now we find in chapter number 1 of the book of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar comes to Judah and Jerusalem and takes all the Jews and brings them to be slaves in Babylon, where it's going to get a lot harder to live for God. You say, why is it going to be hard to live for God in Babylon? Babylon was filled with sin. It was filled with murder. It was filled with wickedness. It was filled with idolatry. And it was filled with people who had no regard for God. That sound familiar? In 2018, that sound familiar to anybody? In other words, you and I are living in a place that's very similar to Babylon today, to where people have absolutely no regard for God, to where people stand for what's wrong and they call it right. In the day in which we're living, what's wrong is called right, and what's right is called wrong. You see people standing out in the streets for gay pride, for abortion, for murder, for all these things, and they're standing up for what's wrong according to God's Word. And if there has ever been a time to where we Christians need to stand up, it's today. Just like these three boys did. Chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream that Daniel has to interpret it for him. And he has to give him the actual dream of what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed. And then he tells him what it's about concerning the end times. And he tells him about this big image that he saw in his dream. So in chapter number 3, Nebuchadnezzar makes his dream come true. And in chapter 3, in verse number 1, Nebuchadnezzar makes a 90-foot statue that people are to come and worship and fall down and serve that image. The rules were this in verses 4 and 5. That everybody in the city was to come. And when they heard the music, the second they heard the music, they better fall down on their knees and worship. And the consequences were in verse number 6. If you don't worship, if you don't fall down, you're going to be cast into the fiery furnace. And everybody did it, right? Nope. There was an exception. And that's found in verses 8 through verses number 12. Verse 12 says, there are certain Jews, and there was three of them, who have it worshipped. We're talking at least 100,000 people, at least, standing around this golden image that you could see from miles away. And when the music played, the Bible says, all of them, all the people, all the nations, all the languages fell down and worshiped. Now, can you imagine being Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? All these hundreds of thousands of people, when that music played, they all fell down. And they just started looking. And they looked at each other and said, I ain't doing it. And they stood up. If you were in that crowd during that day, would you have stood up? That's hard to answer. But the fact is, in the day in which we're living, we may never be asked to bow down to a big idol. We may never be asked to fall down and worship an image. But in the day in which we're living, we're asked to bow down to worldly things every single day and have no regard for God. And when that happens in our life, there's one question. Are you going to stand? Are you going to stand? Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. And God, I thank You this morning for the service that we've already had, for the singing, for the baptisms, God, for everything that's already happened. But Lord, I just pray now that Your Word would have its will and its way in the hearts of Your people, God. I pray that we'll just throw away the things of this world. And God, I pray that we'll just be able to pay attention to Your Word for a short time. And Lord, just let it make an impact on our lives. Lord, I pray that You'll just rid us of ourselves and fill us with Your Spirit, God. And we just thank You and we praise You and we'll give You all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And amen. Number one, I want you to notice that these boys stood no matter the crowd. That these boys stood no matter the crowd. As I said in chapter number one, they had been carried into Babylon with about 100,000 other Jews. But as you'll see in verse number seven, the Bible says all the people bowed down. So we're talking about other Jews that already knew who God was, that had worshipped God all their life, that had seen God in a cloud over the temple that they had been worshipping in. And yet these other Jews still fell down and worshipped. And how easy it would have been for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to look at these other Jews that were probably their friends. And when the music started, they said, oh, they're doing it too. We might as well get down and do it. But they didn't. But there was three of them that decided they were going to stand up. And that took tremendous courage on the part of these boys. Because they did not make their decision based on what other people were going to do. So often we make our decisions based on what everybody else is doing. But these three said, I'm not making my decisions based on everybody else. I'm making my decision based on what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and Him only, and ye shall not go after other gods. And they looked at everybody else and said, well, y'all can do it, but we ain't. Because God's Word tells us not to. And in the day in which you and I are living, it takes courage to obey God's Word. You say, why? Because nobody else is doing it. And that's tough. When nobody else is doing it, to stand up and have courage to say, I'm obeying God no matter if anybody else does it or not. You say, what brought on this courage from these boys? Well, I believe, number one, that it was a promise of the past that they had. Because in chapter number one, they had just been carried into Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar takes about 70 of the Jews and says, I want y'all to come in, y'all teenagers, and I'm going to grow you up, I'm going to teach you our language, and you're going to serve me before my throne. And four of them that he picked was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he says, and for the next about 3 years, I believe it was, I'm going to give you meat, and I'm going to give you wine for every single meal, and we're going to fatten you up real good so you can serve me to the full ability. And this was obvious a transgression against God's Word during that time. Because they weren't supposed to eat that stuff as Jews. They weren't supposed to drink that stuff as Jews, according to Leviticus. So Daniel said, well, I'm not doing that either. And in verse number 8 of chapter number 1, the Bible says, Daniel purposed in himself that he would not defile himself. So Daniel walks up to the leader. He says, listen, I'm not doing this, but this is what we'll do. Me and my three friends, I want you to give us vegetables and water for 10 days, and we'll eat that. And you can give the rest of these people that meat and that wine for 10 days. And you can look at us and see if we're fatter and see if we look better after 10 days, and then you can look at them and see what happens. So the test was this. Daniel and the three others were going to eat Big Macs and or vegetables and lettuce and tomatoes for 10 days and water. The others, say 70, we're going to eat Big Macs and Whoppers and fries. And at the end of 10 days, the king was supposed to look at them and see who got fatter. Now, who's supposed to win that? If anybody wants to try it, I'll be on the Burger King side. Y'all can do Subway. The others were supposed to be fatter, right? The Bible says in verse number 15, the king looked and he said, at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. And verse number 20 says, the king found these four to be 10 times better than the rest of them. And that's no mistake that they did it for 10 days and then the king found them 10 times better. And so these boys got courage because they said, last time we obeyed God when nobody else did and God blessed us for it. God supernaturally came through and made us better because we obeyed Him when nobody else did. They said, remember what God did for us last time. We'll obey Him today and He'll do the same thing. Now I want you to remember the last time you obeyed God when it was hard. And look at the consequences of it. You had joy. You had peace. Now I want you to look at the last time you disobeyed God when it was hard. And I want you to look at the regret and the guilt that came from that. Because I've never met one Christian who woke up the next morning and said, I obeyed God last night. But I've met plenty when I look in the mirror in the morning. I say, I regret disobeying God last night. Amen. Y'all ain't got a perfect preacher. I've never met one person who obeyed God and regretted it. But I've met plenty who've disobeyed and regretted it for the rest of their life. They had a promise of the past. Secondly, they had a predetermined plan. This courage did not come on the moment the music sounded. There's no way they made the decision right there when the music sounded to say, we're going to stand. But this was a predetermined act that they said, no matter what happens in Babylon, we're going to stand up for God. And if we have to wait to make the decision when stuff comes up, the devil's already got us. We have to have a predetermined plan before this stuff comes and gets us, to say we're going to obey God no matter what comes. And apparently these three made up their minds while they were walking to Babylon. To say everybody else may disobey God while we're here, but we're not going to. And we're going to lay down our lives for God. God led them to Babylon, and He expected them to stay clean in Babylon. And it didn't matter what anybody else was doing. So when everybody else is disobeying God around you, are you going to stand up? When you go to a party, teenagers, and everybody else grabs a beer, you don't grab one? When everybody else at school starts cussing, or you don't join in? When everybody else starts listening to music and watching TV that's ungodly, or you don't keep watching it? Are you going to stand when it's hard to stand? And are you going to stand when nobody else does? No matter what the crowd is doing. Because that's what these three did. And they stood no matter the crowd. And they stood number two, no matter the cost. No matter the cost. Because standing for God when nobody else does, it comes at a cost every single time. Verse 6, they had heard the man cry out, if you don't fall down and worship this, we're going to throw you in this fiery furnace and you're going to be dead in 10 seconds. And yet in verse number 12, we find that they stood up anyway. They knew exactly what was about to happen to them. And yet they stood up anyway. But once you stand, your stance is going to be tested even more once you stand. See, once you stand one time, you got to keep on standing. Because once you stand, then the enemy just starts coming even harder. Look at verse number 14 in Daniel chapter 3. They had stood, and now Nebuchadnezzar finds out about it. In verse 14, he says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto him, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? He says, now if you be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of all these kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? See, before they were just standing in the crowd. Now they're standing before the most powerful man on the face of the earth. And they don't have to stand. And Nebuchadnezzar thinks, there's no way they're going to stand up to me in my face. And he knew they were standing up for God. So Nebuchadnezzar looks at them and says, I'm about to throw you into the fiery furnace, and you might serve God, but God's not going to do anything for you once you get thrown into the fire. But yet they stood up anyway. Look at what they said in verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we don't have to give you an answer. We already made our choice. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. He says, if you throw us in there, God's able to get us out. And we believe that God will get us out. But then look at what happened in verse number 18. But if He don't, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. He said, even if our God doesn't deliver us in the midst of that fire, I'm still not bowing down to you. I'm still not worshiping that golden image. In other words, I'd rather lose my life than disobey God. I'd rather lose my life than worship somebody else. These boys knew they were about to lose their life, yet they stood anyway. And do you know the main reason why you and I don't stand and obey God when it's hard? One reason. The fear of what we might lose. The fear of what we might lose. If I obey God and tell my friends that I don't do the stuff that they do, they won't be my friends anymore. And I'll lose some friends. If I obey God and tell my girlfriend or boyfriend that I don't do the stuff that they do, I'll lose our relationship. If I obey God at work when people's blaspheming the name of Jesus and tell them they shouldn't do that, I might lose my job. If I obey God, I'm going to lose some comfort and I'm going to lose some worldly pleasure. Because when we obey God, when nobody else does, it comes at a cost. But just from experience, especially being a teenager in high school and in college, if you obey God and you lose friends over it, those friends weren't worth having in the first place. If you obey God and people get mad at you, those people weren't being around anyway. Because we've come to a time in our nation in which we don't have to stand when nobody else is. These boys said, I'd rather be right with God than with man. Because they knew standing up would make Nebuchadnezzar mad. But they knew standing up would make God pleased. If you stand up, you're going to lose something. But if you bow down, you might lose something greater. A word called integrity. And these boys looked and they said, I'd rather lose my life than lose my integrity toward God. And integrity is something that we need to have in this day as Christians. Integrity is a quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. And that's something we probably all lost at one time. But these boys had integrity and said, I'd rather lose my life than lose my integrity. They decided that they were going to obey God no matter what everybody else did. They decided that they were going to obey God no matter what the cost is. And if you're unsaved today, you're going to have to give up some things in order to get saved. Because some people don't get mad at you when you do. The crowd might not like you anymore. But when you stand no matter the crowd, when you stand no matter the cost, there's something else that happens and I'll be done. God shows up. God shows up. Look at verse number 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Look at this. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. This made Nebuchadnezzar so mad that they stood up to his face that he said, that's fine. Heat up the furnace 7 times hotter than we usually do. And these people, this is amazing. These people that took the 3, they didn't even go in the fire. They were just near it, and they pushed them in and said, get in. Those people that pushed them in died right there. That's how hot it was. Yet now we find the 3 standing in the middle of the fire, and they hadn't even died yet. Because why? What happened? Look at the next verse. I imagine Nebuchadnezzar looked at his men that died and said, oh, whatever. And then he turns back around. And the Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was a stone-eyed and rose up in haste and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men, and they're loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. He looked at them, and he said, hold on. We put three people in there, and we bound them up. And the next time I turned around, I look, and I see four men, and now they're loose. Because they stood up and got thrown into the fire, Jesus stood up for them. Every time you and I stand up when nobody else does, and we stand up for Jesus, the next thing that's going to happen is you better just start looking around, because Jesus is going to show up soon. Scripture attests to it. Every time you stand up for Jesus, He stands up for you. And even though you might have to accept the consequences of standing up for Him, Stephen did in Acts chapter number 8. I mean, these boys were grabbing stones, and Stephen's still standing there preaching Jesus. And they say, go ahead and keep on preaching Jesus, and we're going to throw these stones, and we're going to kill you in about 5 seconds. And he said, that's fine, and he kept on preaching. But the Bible says when they started throwing stones on him, the Bible says that Stephen looked up into heaven, the heavens started opening, what did he see? The Bible says Jesus was standing on the right hand of the Father. Stephen stood up for Jesus, and therefore Jesus stood up for Stephen. Phinehas in Numbers chapter number 25 stood up when sin was in the camp, and God stood up for him. And this time, these boys stood up for God, and God came and stood up for them. Are you going to stand at work when it gets hard? Are you going to stand around your friends when you go back to school when it gets hard? There ain't but one reason for us to stand, Brother Johnny. And I've been waiting all day to get to this point. Because there was a man 2,000 years ago who stood for me and you. And he stood no matter what the crowd did. The Bible says, peradventure, for a righteous man, some would even dare to die. For a good man, some would even dare to die. When nobody else would step forward and come to die for you, Jesus was up in heaven and He left all the portals of glory and He came down. And when nobody else could do what anybody else could do, He stood up no matter what anybody else did. He stood up no matter the crowd. And He stood up no matter the cost. Jesus could have stopped in the Garden of Gethsemane when He was sweating great sweat drops of blood and said, this ain't worth it. My 12 apostles have already left me. This ain't worth it. But He kept on walking on up to Golgotha. And He died for me and you, no matter the cost. But you know what happened about 3 days later? He stood no matter the crowd. He stood no matter the cost. And guess what happened 3 days later? God showed up and rolled that stone away. And then guess what happened next? Jesus stood up. And He walked out for you and for me. Because Jesus stood up for me when I didn't deserve it. Help us to stand for Jesus when He deserves it. It don't matter what anybody else thinks. Stand for Jesus. Musicians, you can come forth. That man Jesus came and died for you and for me. And the amazing part about that is, when He was on the cross, He knew everything about you. He knew everything you'd ever do. And yet He kept on. He could have came off that cross right then. But He kept on. And He died for you and He died for me, knowing that we would fail Him. And I invite you today, if you've never stood for Jesus and you want to come and get saved, that He might give you eternal life, all you've got to do is ask Him and He'll save you. Now, you don't have to stand no matter what everybody else in here does. You don't have to stand no matter what your friends might say. But when you stand, God will stand for you right here. And He'll come into your heart and save you today. Amen. Amen. Father, we love You today. And Lord, we just thank You so much that when we didn't deserve it, God, You came and You stood for us. And Lord, the Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Lord, we can't even comprehend the kind of love that You had for us. You knew everything about us, yet You would still come and die for us and give Your life so that we might be saved. And Lord, we just thank You for Your Word this morning. I pray You'll give us courage. Because God, it's easy to have courage standing up here. But God, it's hard to have courage when we get out into this world. Father, I pray You'll give us courage as we walk out these doors to take a stand for Jesus no matter what anybody else does. And Lord, we thank You. And I pray You'll have Your will and Your way in this invitation. If anybody needs to come forward and get saved or join the church, the doors are always open. And Lord, we thank You. And we'll give You all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would all